Joining me by phone this morning, U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thank you so much for having me, as always.
Well, thanks for being with us. Just heard Secretary Kerry on Morning Edition this morning on NPR. A nuclear deal with Iran is now in the hands of Congress. I understand you're on, day two of a 60-day review period. Now, many in Congress have already criticized the agreement. What's the point of a review period if most of you have already made up your mind about it?
Well, I don't think, you know, a lot of people have made up their mind, and I would disagree with Senator Kerry. I was listening to the clip, and the idea that, people are against the deal because I think the statement you made was something to the effect that politics isn't exactly on the up and up. There's very bipartisan concern. Many members within the Democratic Party are really concerned about this deal. The reason being is the Iranians have gotten everything that they wanted, the release of the money, release of their funds. It ends conventional arms embargo and allows enrichment with a pretty weak verification system. Those are exactly what they wanted. And so as a result, my fear, I think the concern of many is that we're just legitimizing Iran becoming a nuclear power in the next 10 years or so.
Well, Secretary Kerry's...
But it is very bipartisan. I mean, again, the idea that this is a Republican ginned-up thing the people of America, all the Republicans in America are against this and the Democrats are for it. That's simply not the case. This is very serious. It's about whether or not our children and grandchildren are going to face nuclear war. And with nuclear proliferation on the horizon because of this, it's just a very, very serious thing, and I don't think it should be, taken in the context of Senator Kerry saying that it's just pure politics.
Well, what the Secretary said was, one of the things he said was that this agreement puts off the ability for Iran to make a bomb. He says, without this, if Congress kills it, we have no inspections, we have no sanctions, and we have no ability to negotiate.
Well, the problem is that we went in, as we started working towards an agreement, when you look at the things that the president and his, the task force that did the agreement, the idea was to prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear power. Now, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think most people agree with certainty after about 10 years they're going to have that ability, so we're legitimizing it. We're even taking off the sanctions of the Iranian Guard, the individuals that are over there. These are people that have directly, contributed or directly killed Americans, throughout the Middle East. So, it appears to be, and that's why this 60-day period is so important. That's why this discussion is so important, is that we go through all of this and see exactly, who it's going to benefit, who it's not. I know that the nation of Israel is very, very concerned about it, and I know that our Sunni allies, the Egyptians, the Turks, the Saudi Arabia, UAE, all of those folks are very concerned because what's going to happen is, I think a lot of people on both sides, a lot of the people that have studied the area for a long time, feel like there's a good chance of this tipping the balance of power in the Middle East towards Iran.
One of the arguments about the sanctions that have been on Iran and about possibly increasing those sanctions is that they hurt the people of Iran more than they hurt their leadership of the country, and that ramps up anti-American feelings in the region, more resentment, possibly leading to more terrorism and a greater likelihood of a future military conflict. Of course, Americans are tired of sending our young men and women to war. Doesn't rejecting this agreement put us on more of a path toward armed conflict?
No, I don't think so at all. What brought the Iranians to the table in the first place was the sanctions. And sadly, when you have bad people in power, it really does affect, the average citizen. And that's the situation that we're in. But even now, as these talks have concluded, you have the Iranian leadership, coming out saying that they're not going to denounce, the terrorist activities that they've done, that they're going to continue on. All of this goes on as the countryside is chanting death to America, death to Israel of all of these. So my concern is that because of the Sunni Arabs, Sunnis in general, the people of the Middle East, apart from Iran, I think there's a greater chance of war because of the fact that they're going to feel like they're going to need a nuclear bomb also to protect themselves. These are things that have gone on for centuries, and they're very, very concerned about the Persians, the Iranians, and so I think there's a greater chance for war.
What do you see coming out of this 60-day review?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion, both sides, and I think the discussion so far has been good in the sense of talking about the facts, not attacking the president and this and that, but really trying to drill down exactly what's in the agreement. You're having a lot of people in Congress, but also a lot of people that, again, have made a career out of studying these areas come forward. And so I think at the end of the day, we'll have a great discussion. And then at the end, I think we'll have a vote, and we'll have to see what comes of it. But there is very great concern on both sides of the aisle concerning this agreement.
Well, in another part of that general part of the world, we've been supporting Kurdish and other forces battling the forces of the self-declared Islamic State, providing air support with drone attacks and so on. Are we going to have to eventually engage this enemy more directly?
Well, I think, you know, I'm very much for arming the Kurds directly, you know, not going through Baghdad, but giving them the arms they need. They've been a great ally of ours for many, many years. So, you know, I think we need to give them all the support that we can give. Certainly nobody wants boots on the ground. There's other ways of doing that as far as providing limited support regard to, you know, people that are spotting. And we have some of that going on right now. But we do need to be committed. We do need to help those allies any way we can, because right now they are our boots on the ground.
U.S. and Cuba's opened the embassies in each other's capitals this week. How do you view the progress toward normalizing those relations with Cuba?
Mark, I think it's remarkable. You know, there's been more progress made in that direction in the last, you know, 6-8 months than in the last however long it's been since the revolution, you know, decades.
Right.
And so I think that's a good thing. And, you know, we talked about the people of Iran. The people of Cuba have definitely been hurt by the embargo and different things. For Arkansas, it's a win situation economically. The studies say that Arkansas would benefit to about the tune of $80 million a year in trade. The Cubans import about 60-70% of their agricultural products. So those are good things. But apart from that, I think that the way you change societies is through interacting. And, you know, this is a group that has, you know, there's a bunch of Cubans in Cuba. There's a bunch of Cubans in the United States. And so you have these family ties. I think it really is ripe normalizing relations and really getting the Cuban people back into world society.
Well, this is something that Arkansas farmers have looked forward to for many, many years. When will they start to see benefits of this new market?
Don't really know. You know, there's going to be several little votes, you know, that come up and different things in Congress. You know, right now the embargo is still there. But I think as you see, you know, more Americans traveling to Cuba, and more Cubans traveling to America, things will change markedly. So I hope that that's in the very near future. And it seems like the way that we're moving right now that, that seems, a pretty good thing to bet on.
As long as we're talking about farmers and farm markets, you got your annual agriculture tour coming up.
Yeah. And no, we love our ag tour. This gives us, this is such a huge part of the economy of Arkansas, and it gives us a chance to get out on farms and then also get out on, the industries, you know, that use the farm products, and just really highlight the importance of agriculture. And then also, very importantly, listen to the farmers and the various folks involved in the industry as to what's going on and how we can be helpful in sorting out, different foreign policy.
Now, there's another project that you're promoting in Arkansas, is the Veterans History Project. This is a fascinating project, I think. It's an effort to collect oral history from veterans before that history is lost to us. And I understand it's coming to Arkansas. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir, it is. And we've had tremendous kind of outpouring of people that want to participate. But this is all about teaching people how to collect information from those that have served in conflict. And, you know, it's important to really realize what these individuals went through and record that for posterity. My father passed away when he was 69 several years ago, and I just wish that this sort of thing, had been going on then. But it's a great program, and the good news is like I say, we've had a tremendous success in people wanting to come out and participate.
Now, it's coming to Little Rock and to Springdale. Is there any chance for ever a visit to Northeast Arkansas?
Yes, very much so, and that's something that we can work on, and the Northeast Arkansas has tremendous heritage in support for our military, but this is just a feeler for us to put out, see if there was any interest. So we went with those two areas, but yes, very definitely.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that now.
And hopefully we'll be hanging around listening to veterans with you in the Jonesboro region. But this is a great project. I just wish that we'd started it earlier. We're losing so many of our World War II guys, but Korea, Vietnam, all the conflicts since then. Sadly, there's a lot to draw from.
Yeah. Now, if folks need more information about this project or any of these sessions, they can contact your office.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And they can contact our office or go to our website.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Now, we've got an annual report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation just came out today. You may not have had time to review this. I just saw this story this morning, so I haven't had time to look at it myself. But I understand Arkansas is still well above the national average for the number of children living in poverty, but the state seems to have made great strides in the area of health coverage. According to Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, more eligible children have gotten coverage when their caregivers enrolled in the marketplace created by the Affordable Care Act. Now, this makes me wonder, does this mean the ACA is working for Arkansas?
Well, you mentioned both of those areas, certainly health care and then also the hunger issues. And we need to work on both of those. So, that's a good statistic. The it's very easy to sign up people for programs. The question is, how do you pay for that in the future? And that's really the concern. And so, it's a matter of being able to do all of that. My concern with the Affordable Care Act is that it's simply unsustainable. And as a result, we're going to lose a lot of our community hospitals and become a much more regional system, which would not be good for, the small towns throughout Arkansas. But it is something that we can be proud of, that we are making strides. The question is, can you make strides and yet, again, have a situation that is sustainable in the future without bankrupting our states?
Well, do you support protecting CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, at the federal level?
Yes, very much so. And we'll be reauthorizing a bunch of those programs regarding health care, but also programs regarding, the child hunger issues. I'm a co-chair of the Hunger Caucus, and this is something that, we don't have a production problem. We have a distribution problem. There's so many people throughout Arkansas, throughout the country, that want to be involved. They want to be helpful in that regard. And so it's an organizational effort, which a lot of people are trying to get squared away.
Senator John Bozeman, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, as always, for having me, Mark.